Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading brings together three individual psalms which all proclaim the good news of God's caring love. The first being Psalm 10, verse 14, then verses 17 and 18. But you do see troublemaking and grief, and you do something about it. The helpless leave it all to you. You are the orphan's helper. Lord, you listen to the desires of those who suffer. You steady their hearts. You listen closely to them to establish justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that people of the land will never again be terrified. Secondly, Psalm 18, verses 6 and 16. In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I called to my God for help. God heard my voice from his temple. I called to him for help, and my call reached his ears. From on high, God reached down and grabbed me. He took me out of all that water. And finally, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I raise my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing our sermon series called Half-Truths, where we're taking a number of phrases that, as I said earlier, are perhaps commonly found in our culture, but also especially in Christian lexicon. And when I say Christian lexicon, I mean things we often say. I'm not necessarily talking about the canon of sacred text. Because I would suggest to you that every single one of the phrases that we find are not, as we say them, found in sacred text. Does it surprise you to hear that phrase, God helps those who helps themselves, does it surprise you to hear that that is nowhere to be found in sacred text? And I brought my thick Bible, there's no words missing. Does it surprise you to hear that phrase is not to be found in any of these pages? I see some shaking heads. Good. It's that particular phrase. It's sort of like, musicians, help me with this phrase. It's sort of like a sforzando, right? The sforzando that you all just did beautifully, if I'm remembering the phrase correctly, where you hit, you accent a note, you bring your volume down, and then you bring the volume back up, right? And it's this musical awareness where you hit, and then you come down, and then the awareness grows again, right? This phrase is a little bit like that, where it hits you. You're like, oh, okay, of course, that makes sense to me. And then you start to think about it. And then you have a growing awareness, well, maybe that's not quite it. There are a number of these phrases that we'll be addressing over the course of the next several weeks. And you may remember we started last week with everything happens for a reason. And we talked about that last week. And we talked about the difference some different ways that we can talk about God's will. We talked about that kind of authoritarian, micromanaging God who makes every tiny thing in the world happen, from, you know, the hatching of an egg to whether or not someone gets a disease or hits by a car or a promotion at work. And we thought, well, maybe God doesn't micromanage in that way. But then we talked about the opposite of that, about is God someone who created everything and then just hands off and just left the rest to us? An absent God? Neither one of those fit my experience of God. And so we talked about how maybe there's a bit of both and. That God is present, but God calls on humanity to, remember the Lord's Prayer we prayed, to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We talked about that sense of maybe it's something in between. We'll be talking about other phrases, things like God doesn't give you more than you can handle. But today we'll focus on God helps those who helps themselves. And I know this series is titled Half-Truths. This one may not reach that bar of a half. It might be only about a third true, maybe. We're going to explore that. Now, one of the aids that we've had, one of the helps that we've had in terms of looking at some of these phrases comes from two roommates, Eric and Andy. I incorrectly named them as roommates who live in a rural Midwest town. It's not rural. Rural is a harder word to say. It's an urban Midwest town that they live in. And so we'll have a video. Eric and Andy are back, and they'll help us look at this a little bit. And so we'll move on to Eric and Andy.
Dude, did you see the beggar in the church parking lot?
Not only did I see him, I saved his life.
Did you give him part of your sandwich?
No, I gave him something better than that. Scripture from the Bible. And that probably already is rocking his world.
What's scripture?
You know, the famous one. God helps those who helps themselves.
Bro, that's genius. It's like when I was in the nursery the other day, dropping the word.
Nice.
All those babies with poopy diapers, fixed. I told them, God helps those who help themselves. So that means no crying, no stinking.
That is brilliant. Mm-hmm. All right, so you know my friend Lauren? Mm-hmm. Well, me and her were supposed to go to the KU game last weekend, and she called me and said that she had the flu that everyone's been catching. I called her back and said, look, God helps those who help themselves. So, sweetie, grab your car, and I'll meet you out front.
Nice. So how was the game?
Yeah, she never showed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then I guess you had more time to clean out the litter box then, right?
That's it. All I have to do is teach my cat Charlie this verse. God helps those who help themselves, and then he can change the litter on his own. This is a great idea.
What?
Look, just hold my sandwich. I'm gonna go talk to Charlie. We are geniuses. And curse has first been my whole life.
I don't know.
Hey, can I have... Dude, did you get my sandwich?
It was your idea. You said God helps those who help themselves, so I helped myself to your sandwich. And God helped me finish it before you got back.
Eric and Andy help us to see the extreme absurdity, don't they? But it's illustrative. It's helpful. God helps those who help themselves. I already said, that's not something that can be found in our sacred text. Now, the verses that Sal read were beautiful and intentionally chosen. The Psalms are deeply emotional. Right? If you look at the various Psalms, and one of the three we read was a Psalm of David, the other two were not. The third, Psalm 121, is actually written as, I want to get the phrase correct, I have it here, is written as a pilgrimage song. Very often a pilgrimage referenced, particularly in the Psalms, references one of the pilgrimages that Jewish people would make during appropriate feasts in Jerusalem. And you may know, if you know the geography of the area, that Jerusalem, if you're going to Jerusalem, you're going uphill. And very often we have that sense in our lives of feeling like we're going uphill, even if it's not actually or physically or practically the sense, spiritually or emotionally, very often we have those senses where we're going uphill. And Psalm 121, the other Psalms that we've read, so many of the Psalms offer this emotional sense, sometimes of being uplifted, as Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But sometimes there are Psalms, and a number from King David, sometimes there are Psalms that are just heartbreaking. Psalms that express this deep lament, this sense of sorrow, even a sense of emotional or spiritual brokenness. And so it's good and right, and I'm so glad that we read, thank you, Sal, for reading from the Psalms, to help us to remember that we all need help from time to time, and to remind us that help is available. Now, does that mean that help is only available when we help ourselves? That God helps those who help themselves? I said that I think that maybe there's a third truth to that. Not quite a half, but a third truth to that. I think that maybe you're a family, I heard this illustration from another pastor. Maybe you're a family who prays before a meal. How many of you, I'd love it if you'd show me your hands for this. How many of you don't do any work on preparing a meal, you just sit down at the table and pray and just wait for that meal to drop out of the sky on your plate? No, I don't see any hands, no? None of us do that, do we? Part of our prayer at home, Zach, you can speak to this, Cameron can speak to this, the way we pray for our evening meal is I always start with this phrase, thank you, God, for. And then we just sort of lift up anything we're thankful for. It's a prayer of gratitude. I think gratitude is important. And sometimes if you're someone who prays a prayer of gratitude for a meal, you might remember to pray for the hands that prepared a meal. Maybe you're out at a restaurant, or maybe you're praying for the person who prepared that meal in your home. But the person who prepared a meal, right, that's not just the folks in your home. You might understand that, you know, those veggies probably came from a farm somewhere. And we might be praying for that person who planted that seed, who nurtured that seed, those hands that harvested that crop. Those persons who made it possible for those vegetables to make it from that farm to a local supermarket and stock shelves and then into your home. You might pray for someone who raised a cow or a pig. Maybe you're vegetarian, you don't pray for that. When we pray those prayers of gratitude, partly we're acknowledging that work goes into that meal. So we can't just sit down at our tables and say, thank you, God, for the meal that you're going to just magically place before us. We don't do that. I like to say it sometimes in a fairly non-Methodist way. Are you ready for my non-Methodist way? You can't pray to win the lottery without buying a ticket. I'm not saying God can't make you win the lottery. I believe in a God that's all-powerful. But I just think you're going to increase your chances substantially if you buy a ticket. But perhaps you're someone who has lost a job. You might be in prayer. God, I need a job. I need something. Your chances of getting a job are going to be a lot better if you update your resume. If you get online to Indeed or one of the other online sources, if you go to places and submit your resume, if you fill out applications, your chances are going to be substantially increased to get a job if you take that action. So perhaps this is a third truth on how God helps those who help themselves. It's not that God can't do. I'm not in the business of saying the things that God can't do. But I think we substantially help ourselves if we participate in the things that we're praying for. If you're sick and you say, God, please heal me, but you don't go to the doctor, like maybe your chances aren't quite as good as if you do go to the doctor. Does this make sense what I'm saying? Good. So that's the first part. But I also think it's critical to acknowledge that there are some times that circumstances are so overwhelming that we feel like, and sometimes in actuality, there is nothing we can do. Sometimes that is because of outside circumstances. Sometimes that's because we are so deep in despair or our own sinful brokenness that we cannot get out of that on our own. I have had the incredible privilege of serving so many people who have been in circumstances where they felt like they couldn't escape on their own. And you have known me long enough to know that particularly what I'm talking about is people who are living on the street, people who are experiencing homelessness. Do you know how hard it is to get a job if you don't have an address? Do you know how hard it is to apply for a job if you don't have a phone number to write down on that application? Do you know how hard it is to apply for a job if you no longer have access to your Social Security card or some form of identification? Do you know how hard it is to get a copy of your Social Security card or a driver's license if you don't have a certified copy of your birth certificate? How hard it is to get a job with all the red tape for people who don't have a place to store a Social Security card, a driver's license, a certified copy of their birth certificate, maybe a wedding license, maybe a passport. Do you know how hard it is to get a job if you have so little access to basic hygiene like a toothbrush that your teeth start to rot and fall out? Do you know how hard it is to get a job? Do you know how hard it is to get a job if you don't have access to a shower and a place to clean your clothes? There are some who are in such circumstances, regardless of how they got there. I can name person after person after person who find themselves in that circumstance, who cannot on their own get out. And it's heartbreaking because the effort is there, the desire is there, and there's so much red tape and there's so much difficulty. These people cannot do this on their own. What am I supposed to say to those people? What are we supposed to say to those people? God helps those who help themselves. What do you mean you don't have a Social Security card or a driver's license? What do you mean you don't have an address? Go get a job. Is it right to say God helps those who help themselves when there are such barriers in the way, even when those persons have the energy, the desire, the hope? But it's not just from external circumstances. Sometimes we ourselves are burdened by our own brokenness. And we must acknowledge that we cannot do what needs to be done on our own. I've had the privilege of speaking in various conversations with a number of folks who have wrestled with various kinds of addiction. And almost to a person, they have said to me that they have had to get to the point where they hit rock bottom and to acknowledge their own helplessness and to ask for help. Some of us have been in that place where we have hit some kind of rock bottom. We have had to acknowledge our helplessness and that we must have some kind of aid, some kind of help. So for these reasons, perhaps we should not be saying, God helps those who help themselves. When we're facing a person who is in the midst of red tape and circumstance, outward circumstance that prevents them from helping themselves, or when we're speaking to someone who must acknowledge their helplessness. Maybe that's us who must acknowledge our helplessness. But there's one more thing that I want to remind us about. And frankly, we talked about this a few weeks ago as we were working through the Gospel of Luke, and we were talking about how a theme in the Gospel of Luke is how Jesus and God in Jesus lift up the lowly. And one week, part of what we talked about is how we, the body of Christ, the church universal, we are the means by which God lifts up the lowly. And so when it comes to those persons who are experiencing those circumstances where there are so many barriers, we are the means by which God lifts up the lowly. When it comes to walking alongside those who are wrestling with despair, the kind of depression that sometimes can be from mental illness and can sometimes be circumstantial, can sometimes be based on any number of things, or those who find themselves in the midst of addiction, when we walk along those persons and we offer what in the biz we sometimes call a ministry of presence, where we say, I see you, I acknowledge you, I see your humanity, you're not alone. You don't have to walk this journey alone. I can't do these things for you, but I will stand right next to you the entire time. We are the means by which God lifts up the lowly. I hadn't planned to bring this up, but it just sort of occurs to me right now. You've heard me talk about my dad before. I love my dad. There are a lot of things we disagree about. And one of the ways that he absolutely blows my mind in terms of his compassion is the ways he comes alongside someone and just sits and talks with and acknowledges and affirms people, humans. He's particularly active with Vietnam Veterans Association. He's one who has this incredible gift of being with people as their life comes to an end. And he sits with them. And he talks with them. Even in hospitals or hospital beds and homes, in some of the messy situations and ugly situations, and brings beauty and light in what can feel like darkness. I almost tear up when I think about the way my dad is like that with people. So yes, when it comes to this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. My three-point sermon, I don't always do a three-point sermon, but my three-point sermon is this. One, we got to participate. When we want to pray, when we want to eat, when we want to be healed, when we want a new job, when we want circumstances to change, listen, we're going to have a lot higher success rate if we participate in what we're asking God to do for us. Maybe we can think about it, what we're asking God to do with us. We must acknowledge that there are circumstances in the world or interpersonal circumstances or personal circumstances that prevent people from helping themselves. And sometimes that's outward and sometimes that's inward. Sometimes that's the difficulty of getting a Social Security card or a driver's license, or sometimes that's our own helplessness. And we must acknowledge those things and remember that God's Spirit is there. When all we can do is groan, God's Spirit prays for us. That's from Paul. And we must remember that when we observe persons who are in need of help, whether or not they are have the ability to help themselves, that we are the ways by which God lifts up the lowly. Sometimes that's a ministry of presence, and sometimes that's helping to navigate some of the red tape, and sometimes that's encouraging people to take a step in the right direction and walking alongside them. God helps those who help themselves. Maybe that's just a half-truth. Maybe we can join in building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.